You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Monarch, and this is The Butterfly Effect, from a spark to flame. Welcome to this episode of The Butterfly Effect. The Butterfly Effect is an idea that is commonly used in chaos theory. We are going to be discussing how a small change can make much bigger changes happen, and how one small incident can have a big impact on the future. A show about how a small change can have a much larger impact on our future. On today's episode of The Butterfly Effect, we are going to be discussing the controversy of call-out culture and cancel culture. We are going to answer some of the difficult questions when it comes to call-out culture and cancel culture, and whether or not call-out culture and cancel culture are warranted, or are they simply another evolved form of bullying? A post, a tweet, a TikTok, a reel, a picture, a video. Mess these up, and you might be the next of many to be canceled. We are now living in a time where your future can be taken away from you and your reputation can be either be destroyed or tarnished. Now, call-out culture and cancel culture are becoming overwhelmingly more popular. For those of you who are not quite familiar with the term call-out culture and cancel culture, let me explain them to you. Call-out culture is defined as a quote, a way of behaving in a society or group in which people are often criticized in public, for example, on social media, for their words or actions, or asked to explain them. In a call-out culture, nobody is safe. And cancel culture is defined as, quote, a modern form of ostracizing in which someone is thrust out of social or professional circles, whether it be online, social media, or in person. Okay, so now that you have an understanding of what the terms call-out culture and cancel culture mean, let's continue this discussion. Shall we take a walk down memory lane? Do we all remember those assemblies in elementary school or middle school where an overly peppy presenter would come to our school auditorium and talk for at least an hour about bullying and/or cyberbullying? Well, at least I remember these kinds of events. I think over the years I've probably attended at least 5 of these types of presentations. And you may be wondering, DJ Monarch, why are you bringing this up? Well, I'm trying to get you to recall these presentations because if you remember anything at all from these presentations that may have happened years ago for you, they constantly define bullying. And is the definition of call-out culture and cancel culture oddly familiar? Is it just a new form of bullying? Many people may argue that this new age of call-out culture and cancel culture is just widely accepted forms of bullying. Okay, stick with me here. You may be thinking, absolutely not, DJ Monarch. Call-out culture and cancel culture is vital and extremely important in our society. It keeps people accountable and reveals their true colors. Or you may be thinking, yes, absolutely, DJ Monarch, call-out culture and cancel culture is extremely toxic and it is simply widely accepted, justified bullying. Well, regardless of where you are on this spectrum, where you currently stand in this debate, I want to shine a light on some of the underrepresented aspects of call-out culture and cancel culture. We are going to work together and think about where should we draw the line. In this age of the internet and social media, it is very easy to do some deep investigating in someone's past. Plus, once you find that information, it's easier than ever to share the information with millions of people around the world and collectively call out or cancel that person. The skeletons in their closet will no longer be so hidden. The New York Times article, 10 Things About Cancel Culture, What We Talk About When We Talk About Cancellation, outlines 10 vital things we need to know. Quote, cancellation properly understood refers to an attack on someone's employment and reputation by determining collective critics based on an opinion or an action that is alleged to be disgraceful and disqualifying. 2. All cultures cancel. The question is for what, how widely, and through what means. There's no human society where you can say or do anything you like and expect to keep your reputation and your job. Cancellation, number 3, cancellation isn't exactly about free speech, but a liberal society should theoretically cancel less frequently than its rivals. Number 4, the internet has changed the way we cancel and extended cancellation's reach. 5, the internet has also made it harder to figure out whether speech is getting freer or less free. Number 6, celebrities are the easiest people to target, but the hardest people to actually cancel. 7, cancel culture is most effective against people who are still rising in their fields, and it influences many people who don't actually get canceled. Number 8, the right and the left both cancel. It's just that today's right is too weak to do it effectively. Number 9, the heat of the cancel culture debate reflects the intersections of the internet as a medium for cancellation, with the increasing power of left-wing moral norms as a justification for cancellation. And lastly, number 10, if you oppose left-wing cancel culture, appeals to liberalism and free speech aren't enough. Whether or not you directly agree with these, I feel that it is important for me to outline these 10 points for you all. But okay, yes, I personally think it is important for people to be held accountable for their actions. But as a society, we need to know how to educate some people without completely destroying their future, their reputation, and even their mental health. Look, I completely understand. Pleading ignorance is not always an excuse. But we are all human. People make mistakes. People do not always have the answers. And now, more than ever, as a society, we have become more hyper aware of racial and social justice issues than in the past. So, this means digging into a person's past may be harmful, especially if there is a possibility that that person has changed their views and their actions. Also, it is important to know the context of these things that we're seeing. So let's think about it. Is calling out culture less toxic than canceling culture? If our goal is purely to bring awareness to the mess up, the goal should then be to educate the person on the issue after being called out, but not to destroy them. So, do we cancel people purely for revenge? Or do we actually want them to learn? I'm going to let you think about that. We'll be right back. After the break, we are going to be continuing this discussion on call-out culture and cancel culture, and whether or not they are warranted or simply another elevated form of bullying. You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Monarch, from A Spark to Flame. Will. Be right back. Welcome back to this episode of The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. Once again, I am your host, DJ Monarch. And on today's episode, we have been discussing call-out culture, cancel culture, and whether or not they are warranted acts or simply another evolved form of bullying. We are going to be continuing that discussion now. According to the article, cancel culture and call-out culture are not the same. Quote, offensive jokes, missteps, and even plain ignorance are reason enough to cancel someone, according to the internet. But here's the difference between barring someone for life and calling them out. Punishing them without a path to rehabilitation yields an environment with accountability, but without hope for progress. For many celebrities and public figures, most of whom cite ignorance or evolving standards of decency for their failures, a call-out can serve as a catalyst for growth, but only if given the chance to re-engage in the conversation. So, we have established that it is important to properly criticize those who have harmed others, especially if the person they harmed is under them and they are in a position of power. Accountability is key. However, cancel culture is ruthless. And more ostracizing than I believe is necessary. Isolating this person does not exactly educate them. Calling out, on the other hand, is a little less ostracizing and is heading in the right direction of educating. However, more often than not, the calling out culture turns into the canceling culture. If the harm they caused was done with a malicious intent, then canceling that person is slightly more warranted. Social media. Social media has become a very large part of our lives, especially recently. I'll be honest with you. Personally, I will admit that I know that I spend way too many hours out of the day on social media. It has become an unhealthy routine of mine to check my phone first thing when I wake up in the mornings and before I go to bed in the evenings. Sometimes I will even wake up and not even fully get out of bed. I'll just start scrolling through TikTok, go on Snapchat, or scroll through Instagram for about 30 minutes before actually getting up to start my day. I know, I could be doing something better, like going on a run or reading a book. And I know, please don't judge me, but I feel like I need to be 100% honest with you all about my missteps. And if you are completely honest with yourself, you likely spend maybe too much time on social media or looking at a screen in general. Basically, social media has just become a way of life, and in some aspects have absolutely consumed our day-to-day routines. And yes, social media does have some very positive aspects, but it is also important to understand those negative drawbacks that come along with social media and the serious mental health toll social media can take. In the article, "Does Social Media Cause Depression?" featured by the Child Mind Institute, quote, "In several recent studies, teenage and young adult users who spend the most time on Instagram, Facebook, and other platforms were shown to have a sustainably from 13 to 66% higher rate of reported depression than those who spent the least time. These studies show a correlation, not causation, but it's worth a serious look at how social media could be affecting teenagers and young adults negatively. One reason the correlation seems more than coincidental is that an increase in depression occurred in tandem with the rise in smartphone use. A 2017 study of over 500,000 8th through 12th graders found that the number exhibiting high levels of depressive symptoms increased by 33% between 2010 and 2015. In the same period, the suicide rate for girls in that age group increased by 65%. Then, in 2018, according to the Pew Research Center's 2018 survey of U.S. teens, quote, one in six teenagers have experienced at least one of six different forms of abusive behavior online. These abusive behaviors online consisted of name-calling, which was 42%, spreading false rumors, which was 32%, receiving unsolicited explicit images, which was 25%, having their activities and whereabouts tracked by someone other than a parent, which was 21%, someone making physical threats, which was 16%, and having explicit images of them shared without their consent was 7%. This data is extremely disturbing and contributes to the fact that social media by itself is toxic. But then if we add on call-out culture and cancel culture on top of that, it adds another thick layer of stress, anxiety, and depression. After the break, we're going to be continuing this discussion of the mental health toll and what cancel culture looked like over this past year. You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Monarch. From a spark to a flame, this is The Butterfly Effect. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this episode of The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. Once again, I am your host, DJ Monarch, and on today's episode of The Butterfly Effect, we have been discussing the call-out culture and cancel culture and the mental health toll it has. So, calling out culture and canceling culture became extremely prevalent during 2020. It feels like once a week, so many celebrities were being either called out, canceled, or both. Some of the people who were canceled or called out were Kanye West, and Kanye West was called out for supporting Donald Trump, Ellen DeGeneres, who was called out and canceled after allegations of her toxic behavior and toxic workplace came to life, J.K. Rowling, who is the famous author who wrote the Harry Potter book series, was canceled for making anti-trans comments. Shane Dawson, a famous YouTube conspiracy theorist, was canceled for his racist comments. Jeffree Star, another YouTube star, was canceled for his offensive lipstick line names. Lea Michele, who is the Glee star who played Rachel, was canceled for her racist microaggressions against a castmate named Samantha Marie Wazé. And Doja Cat, who was canceled for her racist comments. And those are only a few of the celebrities who found themselves in severely hot water for their past behaviors. Many of these celebrities trended on social media, but not for a good reason. Some of the top hashtags were their name and then is over party, or their name is canceled. I think that more people were canceled over this quarantine 2020 pandemic due to the fact that we were basically all stuck at home in quarantine and we were spending way too much time online and on social media. And during that time, we were digging into celebrities' past. We were on way too many forms of social media platforms all over the course of the COVID-19 pandemic. And there was also lots of social unrest and new injustices that had come to light. For example, the killing of George Floyd, which created a whole new wave of the Black Lives Matter protest. So the celebrities who showed their support for this protest were investigated to see if they have always been as woke or as supportive, and those who did not show their support were also heavily critiqued for not showing their support. Also, during this, the past presidential election caused a lot of tension throughout the United States of America, and celebrities were a big part of this. For example, Kanye West, celebrities who supported Donald Trump were definitely in a category of people who were not as highlighted, or if they were not supporting marginalized communities, they were heavily critiqued. Aaron A. Vogel, a social psychologist and postdoctoral fellow at Stanford University, said in the Insider article, "Everyone is getting canceled in quarantine. This is why we're seeing more stars in hot water than ever before." Quote, "Social media has given us more access to the details of celebrities' lives than ever before. Digging around for clues about a celebrity's life may give people a sense of accomplishment. It can feel like celebrities aren't human, and some people may find comfort in realizing that celebrities are imperfect too." So this quote from her is directly tied into the idea that cancel culture may be less about bringing awareness to the issue for them to be educated about it and fix what they did, and more about bullying and being malicious. And yes, some of the celebrity scandals were a bit more malicious than others, and they should be held accountable for their actions. But some of these were either simply ignorance or just this person's opinion. Most of the celebrities in these situations ultimately apologized for their missteps and their ignorance. But of course, some of the apologies felt more genuine than others. And at the end of the day, actions speak louder than words. So if the celebrities showed genuine growth, should we continue to scrutinize them for a past mistake? Even former President Barack Obama criticized cancel culture, saying for its focus is on perfectionism. And he calls cancel culture ineffective and not activism. However, call out culture and cancel culture are not a new phenomenon. Though they have become increasingly more popular, societies have been humiliating and using humiliation and social exile as a tactic for centuries to enforce conformity. The problem is that it is not always effective. In all honesty, let's look at these celebrities' lives. They may experience backlash for these missteps and their ignorance, and may miss out on future opportunities like hosting award shows, brand deals, or future roles in entertainment. But if the goal of canceling them is to strip them of these celebrity status, it doesn't really do that. They will likely continue to be wealthy and continue to be famous. But this is not supposedly the goal of cancel culture. If the goal was to be an activist by bringing their mistakes to light, you failed at this as well. So ask yourself, what is really the goal of you doing this? Are you hiding behind the idea of being an activist in order to cover up the fact that you're really just bullying? If we want social change, then our goal should be to educate them, not to exile them. Let's all take a minute. Let's think. Have you ever said or done something that was ignorant, hurtful, or just outright unacceptable? Do you regret that? Do you feel guilty about it? And have you grown from that mistake or misstep? Would it be fair to continue to criticize you for this mistake? After the break, we are going to be continuing this discussion on call-out culture, cancel culture, and its mental health toll. You are listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Monarch. This is The Butterfly Effect, from a spark to a flame. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this episode of The Butterfly Effect, only on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, at Dominican University of California. I am your host, DJ Monarch, and this is The Butterfly Effect. On today's episode, we have been discussing call-out culture, cancel culture, and whether or not it is warranted or just another form of bullying. We are going to be continuing that discussion right now. So, I was personally extremely astonished to find out that some of my childhood movie classics had been part of this canceled wave. Yes, I did say children's classic books and movies. What? You may be wondering. Wait, DJ Monarch, I thought only people could get canceled. Every example you've previously given us has been a celebrity, a person, not a movie or a book or another object. Well, I'm here to inform you that not just celebrities are getting canceled. You may know the popular streaming network Disney Plus. Well, Disney Plus has put certain filters on old childhood movie classics. For example, Swiss Family Robinson, Dumbo, and The Aristocrats. Some of these titles may sound familiar to you. They definitely did to me. I watched Dumbo and The Aristocrats as a kid. Well, they are being censored because they have racist imagery. The singing crows in Dumbo, quote, pay homage to racist shows where white performers with blackened faces and tattered clothing imitated and ridiculed enslaved Africans on southern plantations. Looking back, as a child, I do not remember that. But I guess in today's climate, we are becoming more aware of these social aspects. You may be wondering, have we gone too far? Is canceling a movie too far? Because I'll be honest with you, I watched these movies as a kid multiple times. And at that age, I personally never saw anything wrong with them. Though I do think it is important to address and understand the changing of the times, and we need to be more sensitive and inclusive. But is it extremely necessary? Another thing I was surprised to hear was being canceled was Dr. Seuss books. Yes, I said Dr. Seuss books. I know all of us have at least read one Dr. Seuss book. And Dr. Seuss is a beloved children's author. Or maybe he's no longer so loved. Some of his books have been accused of having racist undertones and unfavorable stereotypes. So badly that 6 of Dr. Seuss's books will no longer be published due to the apparent racist undertones. The 6 books in this list are The Cat Quizzer, Scrambled Eggs Supper, If I Ran to the Zoo, On Beyond the Zebra, McKellyitt's Pool, and To Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. These books apparently have harmful stereotypes of Asian people and African American people. And there's more than just celebrities, movies, and books being canceled. Even food brands are being canceled. Oh, you heard me right. Yes, I said food brands. These food brands include Uncle Ben's Rice, Aunt Jemima's Pancake Mix, and Aunt Jemima's Syrup, and Mrs. Butterworth Syrup. These companies and brands have found themselves in hot water due to their racist imagery on their brands. The Aunt Jemima Pancake Mix and the Aunt Jemima Syrup character is based on the stereotype of the Mammy character, which is an offensive stereotype against African American people and African American women in particular. Though this syrup depicts a distasteful, harmful stereotype, I have a bit of an issue with this being canceled. Mainly because I think that we're missing the point. Okay, stick with me here. But personally, as an African American woman, I'm not particularly concerned with Aunt Jemima Pancake Mix and Aunt Jemima Maple Syrup. However, I am much more concerned with the systematic racism in the United States of America. How about rather than pancake mix, I'm worried about policy? And how about rather than being focused on syrup, I am focused on structure? Yes, though it is important to understand how Aunt Jemima is an offensive image, it is taken away from the conversation that we as a nation should be focused on. About rather than canceling a brand, we focus on poverty. And the fact that according to the 2018 United States Census data, quote, the highest poverty rate by race is found among Native Americans, which is 25.4%, with blacks 20.8%, which is them having the second highest poverty rate, and Hispanics of any race having the third highest poverty rate of 17.6%, with Asians having a poverty rate at 10.1% and whites having a poverty rate of 10.1%. Why are we not focused on this? Because from this data, we can clearly see that there is a drastic difference of poverty based on race. Or why don't we focus on tactics of political violence in the United States of America? According to the ACLU, 36 states have identification requirements at the polls. 7 states have strict photo ID laws, under which voters must present one of a limited set of forms of government-issued photo IDs in order to cast a regular ballot. No exceptions. Voter ID laws have been estimated by the U.S. Government Accountability Officer to reduce voter turnout by 2 to 3 percentage points, translating to tens of thousands of voters lost in a single state. Over 21 million United States citizens do not have government-issued photo identification. Obtaining an ID card is not an easy task. ID cards can be expensive for those in low-income communities and can be difficult to obtain if you do not have proper transportation to a DMV. How about another tactic used in voter suppression is voter registration restrictions? Again, according to the ACLU, states restrict regulations by allowing people to register long in advance for an election. For example, New York requires voters to register at least 25 days before the election, which imposes an unnecessary burden on the right to vote. In the 2016 presidential election, over 90,000 New Yorkers were unable to vote because their applications did not meet the 25-day cutoff, and the state had the 8th worst turnout rate in the country. And if you're still not quite sure about voter suppression, let me give you some more statistics. According to the ACLU, 70% of Georgia voters purged in 2018 were black. Across the country, 1 in 13 black Americans cannot vote due to disenfranchisement laws. Across the country, counties with larger minority populations have fewer polling sites and poll workers per voter. Voting should take no more than 30 minutes, according to the Presidential Commission on Election Administration. But however, in the 2018 midterm election, about half of Black and Latino voters waited an average of 45% longer than white voters. See, that seems like an issue we need to be focused on. Or why don't we focus on even the inequality of our public health system that puts minorities more at risk for COVID? Because COVID is a huge issue today. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention website, quote, long-standing systematic health and social inequalities have put many people from racial and ethnic minority groups at increased risk of getting sick and dying from COVID-19. Or why don't we even focus on something that I know is much more important and relevant to African Americans and African American women in particular, since the Aunt Jemima is so offensive to African American women. Why don't we focus on that fact that according to discipline data for girls in U.S. public schools, Department of Education Office for Civil Rights 2018 states, quote, black girls in high schools are 6 times more likely than white girls to be suspended. Black girls in high school are 4 times more likely to be arrested than white females. Black girls in high school are 3 times more likely to be referred to law enforcement than white females. Black girls in high school are 3 times more likely to receive one or more in-school suspensions than white females. Black girls in high school are 3 times more likely to be restrained than white female students. Black girls in high school are 2 times more likely to receive corporal punishment than white female students. Black girls are the only group of girls to be overrepresented across the entire continuum of school discipline. And this continuum includes corporal punishment, referrals to law enforcement, expulsion, suspension, restraints, and even arrest. Look, listen, you see, I'm not saying that proper representation isn't important, okay? I'm just saying with everything else we have going on, should that really be at the top of our priority list? Look, cancel culture is currently an angry mob obsessed with getting revenge. The mindset is, I am right and you are wrong. And this idea is extremely polarizing, and it divides us more than we already are currently divided. Just because someone disagrees with us does not mean they are necessarily wrong. We just don't see eye to eye on everything. Yes, calling out bad behavior is important, but it's concerning living in a society that supports and even encourages people to be quick to judge, and then quick to cancel, and then slow and weary to forgive. This just seems extremely dangerous. We need to be able to learn from our mistakes. We need to be able to make mistakes because we are human. We are going to make mistakes. Mistakes are inevitable, but it is how we learn and grow from those mistakes. That is what matters, and that is what's truly important. We have to be able to work together to find the best solution rather than trying to get everyone to see things from one perspective. We need to be okay with and understand that everyone sees things differently. Politically, socially, we just are not the same. Just so we are all on the same page here, I am not saying that people in power and companies should not be held accountable for their actions. They should be held accountable, especially if their actions are causing serious harm. However, I'm here to caution the idea that cancel culture is the answer. I'm cautious to the idea that cancel culture, which causes us to become obsessed with tearing others down, bullying, exile, and ostracizing people is the answer, because ostracizing and exile can lead to deteriorating mental health. Without the possibility of apologizing and growing from our mistakes, how can we learn? Because at the end of the day, canceling culture may be doing more harm than good. So, are we going to let a post, a tweet, a TikTok, a reel, a picture, a video dictate a person's future? Or can we come to agreement? It is finally time to cancel the cancel culture. Thank you for joining us. You have been listening to The Butterfly Effect on Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, only at Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Monarch, and this has been The Butterfly Effect, from a spark to flame. Please join us for next week's episode of The Butterfly Effect.